This is Comedy Store Wrestling.
What's up, everyone? Welcome back to the world famous Comedy Store here in Hollywood, California. My name is Eddie Torres, and I'm joined by my co-host, the inappropriate one, Earl Skakel. Today, we have a very special guest in the house, the undeniable, the one and only, the questionable CVV himself, Mr. Chris Van Vliet. How are you, brother?
Doing great. Guys, thank you so much for having me. This is my first time in the Comedy Store.
Oh, really?
And it's like I walked in and then right down in the basement here, so I actually haven't seen the Comedy Store yet.
We'll take care of that.
Yeah, we'll take
care. I can't wait.
You'll get to see some shows, hang out.
Oh, yeah.
Meet some comedians. You know, who knows where it goes.
Some whores. Oh. Into that.
You guys have those here?
We do. We do.
Wow.
We have
well, it is Los Angeles.
Yeah. Are you married or?
I live with my girlfriend.
Sorry about that.
Oh. Rachel is fantastic.
Oh, there we go. Shout out to Rachel.
Yeah. Rachel.
Shout out to Rachel.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah, man. So we're going to mix it up today a little bit. We're going to talk to Chris. And we're going to go through some of the top stories and rumors with Chris, which usually it's a separate thing. But for you guys, we want to make it special. So Canadian TV personality, that's the first thing on my list here.
Mm.
Explain that to me, TV personality. What were you doing on Canada?
I was being a person on TV.
Oh.
Yeah, no. I was originally from just outside of Toronto, Pickering, Ontario. And it was always my goal, my dream, my aspiration to work in television. And I mean, that feels like a huge long shot. And even more so, I feel like in Canada, because there's not as many television opportunities there.
Right.
But like, really long story short, I went to college for communication studies and had a realization in my senior year of like, oh my God, we have to like work after we graduate for the rest of our lives. And I was like, I don't want to hate my job. And that was like my whole goal is like, I don't want to be one of those people who hates Sunday because Monday's the next day. So reached out to every radio station, every TV station in my college town and just basically said, I'm passionate about broadcasting. Can I come in and just volunteer and see how it's done in the real world? And that's kind of how my career began. And it was like me volunteering at a TV station, volunteering at a radio station. Another radio station said, we don't take on volunteers. How would you like a job? And I'm like, I can't believe this is real.
Ah.
They said it only pays $8 an hour. And I'm like, that's $8 more than I thought I was going to make. And that's how the whole like thing began. And I worked on air in Canada for 5 years and then moved to the States in 2010.
Did you have to be knowledgeable about hockey since like Toronto is the epicenter?
Of course. I feel like you come out of the womb like wearing skates in Canada. So I started playing hockey at 6. And I play every now and then, but like if you don't play hockey in Canada, it's like not watching football in the US.
Right.
Like that is the sport.
I find it interesting. Canadians have a reputation of being like the nicest people. You know, nobody locks their doors. They're always saying, I'm sorry and all that stuff.
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. Sorry about that.
Guy
sorry
does his research.
That was good.
But my it's interesting that, they, you know, they're known as the most polite, and yet we have two of the biggest, most violent sports, hockey and wrestling, come from Canada.
Yeah, and maybe it's like we take all of our aggressions out on those.
Yeah, that makes sense.
It is great, though. Like, when you think about someone asked me what my Mount Rushmore of Canadian wrestlers was, and I was like, oh, just four? Like, it's
so
difficult.
You mean the Hart Foundation?
Yeah. But it's so difficult because so many great wrestlers have come out of Canada.
Yeah.
Obviously, Bret Hart would be on that list, and Jericho, I think, is the GOAT right now.
Yeah.
And then it's like, then you could throw anyone else on that list.
I got to go with Iron Mike Sharp. Just
great pick.
Yeah.
Excellent pick.
His jobbing abilities. But that's a very tough role in wrestling to make other people look good.
But then, I mean, you can go down the list. It's Edge, Christian, Test, Val Venus.
The Hoosers.
Lance Storm.
Lance Storm, of course. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot.
The Mountie.
Was the Mountie actually Canadian?
I don't know.
He was probably from San Diego.
Yeah, probably.
Like, I really thought Kamala was from Uganda. I'm like, oh my God. And then he's from like Mississippi.
Or like Yokozuna is like one of the Rock's cousins.
Yeah. Oh, man. So, I mean, your face is unavoidable on social media, by the way.
Sorry about that.
Yeah,
that's why you're here.
Yeah, that's why you're here. Every time because I follow a lot of wrestling, sites and wrestlers, and, you know, you're always popping up. So how did you become, like, the interviewer of the stars? Like, because you said you did broadcasting, and all of a sudden now, you know, million views on YouTube and interviewing everybody.
I don't know. But if I was following my broadcasting path along, I started off in local news. So it was like reporting on like very local stories in Peterborough, Ontario, home of Bobby Roode, another Canadian wrestler.
There you go.
And then from there, I started hosting a show on MTV2 Canada. And that's when I really started working in entertainment news and like covering all kinds of different things with entertainment. That's where this all began. Mm. So, you know, you'd interview musicians and comedians and actors and directors. And then in 2007, I did my first wrestling interview. WWE was coming to town with SmackDown and ECW. And I said to my boss, I said, do you think we could interview a wrestler? And she's like, yeah, sure. We've done that on the show before. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to get paid to talk to a wrestler? So it's Bobby Lashley. It was my very first wrestling interview. I challenged him to a fight. He was the ECW champion at the time. I challenged him to a fight during the interview. It was great television. Ooh. Terrible interview. It's on my YouTube channel if you want to see that. You know, and I also believe that if you don't go back and look at the old material, whatever you do, if you're an actor or a comedian or a television host, if you don't look back on your old stuff and kind of cringe a little, you are not heading in the right direction.
Yep.
So that was kind of where it began. I was covering all different aspects of entertainment. And because I was a huge wrestling fan since I was a kid, every time wrestling would come to town, I would just like ask my boss, can we talk to so-and-so? And they'd always go, sure. That's kind of how this all came together. And then the wrestling started to ramp up a little bit more as I was getting more and more access to different people. So there was actually a point where I went from Vancouver, it was Peterborough, Ontario, to Vancouver, to Toronto. Then to Cleveland was my first stop in the U.S. I love Cleveland. Come on. Love CLA. And then it was Miami. Mm. And so I was kind of realizing, like, instead of just getting the people from Impact Wrestling or WWE when they were in town, what if I were to talk to the local promoters and go, hey, can I talk to this wrestler when they're in town for you? What if I drove an hour or two or three to get an interview? And that's when the wheels kind of started getting rolling, and that's when the YouTube views really started taking off.
Very cool. Very cool. Do you have a story of, like, the craziest interview? Did you ever have anybody walk out on you?
Mm.
Or, like, just get upset? I mean, I've seen The Rock flip you off, but that's a jest.
Twice. The Rock flipped me off twice. I won't name the person, but I did an interview with somebody, and I thought the interview was going really well, and I asked about a topic they had never really spoken about, and I thought, well, this is some good stuff. Like, that's, you know, I get a lot of interviews where we kind of dig in deep to some topics that maybe aren't discussed that frequently, and I left the interview going, that was some good stuff. And then about a week later, that person texted me and said, do you think we could do the interview again?
Oh, I love that phone call.
And I went, huh, well, I've never done that before. Are you sure?
Yeah.
And they went, I've actually lost sleep over it this week. Wow. So would you mind if we did it again? We did the first one over Zoom. I would be more than happy to do the next one in person. And I went, okay, sure. So the next interview we did was in person. It was so much better. So they certainly didn't walk out, but it was the like, yeah, I don't think I should have said some of the things I said. Yeah.
But you never know. Like, I remember I had Don Fry on my podcast.
Yeah.
I was excited because he was my first celebrity. And I asked him about, are there gay MMA fighters? And he just looks at me and goes, I don't think about it. I was molested. And I was like, so how about that Gary Goodridge fight? He didn't make me take it out, but I felt mortified. Like
record scratch.
Yeah. I've had other interviews. I also won't name them, but I've had other interviews where a day or two later they go, that part where I talked about this thing, could you cut that out?
Yeah.
Sometimes it's for like legal reasons. Mm. That's happened before. And sometimes it's just like, if that gets out, that's going to be the focus of our hour-long interview, and that's not fair.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, I get that.
Yeah, I deal with that a little bit thanks to the interviews I do with musicians. There's a lot of stuff that they get comfortable, and then they say, and then they're like, can you cut that out?
Yeah,
I got you. Don't worry.
So this is
take notes. I can't do live shows.
If you ever see one of my YouTube videos and there's an edit in the middle of it, it is 9 times out of 10 because someone has asked, can you take that part out? The one other time out of 10, it's like I had an interview with Hangman Page, and the camera just stopped rolling in the middle of the interview.
Those are fun.
So there's an edit there. He didn't say anything bad, didn't want anything removed, but there was an edit there, and it's just like, oh, damn it. Okay, hold on a second here. Because I'm one-man banding it a lot.
Right.
Like, that interview was done at a wrestling convention in Indianapolis, and I was there by myself. Like, I went in by myself, not with, like, a camera person. Right. So I was just like, you know, setting all the equipment up. And then he looked at the camera and saw that it wasn't rolling anymore. He's like, hey, do you want to make sure that this is still going here? I'm like, oh, yeah.
Good call.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's tough when you're doing it on your own. You need to have at least one person kind of keeping an eye on the dots and stuff.
Well, otherwise, like, we're having a conversation like this, and then I just keep being like...
Yeah, keep a lookout.
Okay,
yeah.
It's still rolling. Okay, good.
I mean, thank God for John, because...
Well, you guys are doing it right here.
Yeah. Well, John's doing it right.
John's doing it right.
We're just showing up.
Thank you, John. Thank you.
Eddie does the research, and I just chime in with an inappropriate line here and there.
The inappropriate one.
That's right. That's right. So I've seen you doing some training with Killer Cross, and have you done professional wrestling training?
I did back when I was 20. I trained in Toronto. So I wanted to be a pro wrestler. So if we take it back just a little bit, I was a backyard wrestler.
Oh, wow. I love that stuff.
Yeah. And this was like in the year 2000 and 2001 when that was like a really big deal. So we had a backyard wrestling, and this is in Canada, so you could only do it from like May-ish to like right. September maybe. So we did it the summer of 2000 and summer of 2001. And me and one of the other guys that we backyard wrestled with, we made a pact that when we had the money and a car, we were going to train to be pro wrestlers. And I trained for a few months, but it was in the summer between me going to college. It was like the summer between my like freshman year and sophomore year and junior year. And I just kind of like, I had a fork in the road where I was training and I was picking it up pretty quickly. And I was at a fork in the road where I was like, do I continue with school, or do I continue with wrestling school? Because I'm a big believer in that old adage, the man who chases two chickens catches none. Mm. And I didn't want to like half-ass one and half-ass the other and then just have two half-asses, you know?
Yeah.
Because two half-asses don't equal a full ass.
No.
I don't know.
Not necessarily.
Who knows? Also, it was like $250 a month to go to wrestling school, which when you're in college... That buys a lot of beer, you know?
Yeah.
It's also just a lot of money in general. It was an hour drive each way, and it was 4 days a week. It was a lot of things were like making me realize, you know what, I should finish my education. And wrestling will kind of always be there.
Yeah.
And it has. I've been able to dip my toe into the wrestling world as a ring announcer. I've done a few independent spots here and there.
Yeah, I saw you at Circle Six doing announcing.
Yeah, exactly. So it kind of worked out really well that I got to do the broadcasting thing, which I've always been really passionate about. And then every once in a while, you know, show up at a wrestling event.
Yeah, and your livelihood, your body is not going to take as much damage as, you know, a professional wrestler.
Because I would be 18 years into my wrestling career.
Yeah, you'd be pretty banged up.
Right, and I look at a lot of my friends who are 18 years into the wrestling career. And
not pretty.
They've got a lot of things that hurt when they get out of bed in the morning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you guys are watching and you haven't seen the video of Chris Van Vliet over at Sean Spears and Tyler Breeze's school getting chopped about 20 times by the entire class.
I'm not impressed by too many YouTube videos.
I don't know if impressive is the right word.
It is.
It's impressive.
I would have tapped out after maybe two shots from Sean Spears alone.
Oh, they were, yeah.
What hurt, the first few or the last few?
I'd say like the first few, and then it went numb, and then it was just like loud after that, and then my chest went through like every phase of bruising after that.
Yeah, I was gonna say, what was the most painful day, like the second or third day? Because I know the first day, like you said, it gets numb.
When we took the photo for the thumbnail, that was at its like peak of how bad it looked, because it was like welts and it was red and it was purple. And then I went back to the hotel that night and I took my shirt off and I was like looking at it. And when I moved, it was like a sun, like the worst sunburn. Oof. And there are wrestling schools in Orlando. So when I was about to head home, Sean Spears goes, or about to head back to the hotel, Sean Spears goes, get some aloe vera. And of course, we're in Orlando. There's aloe vera everywhere because, you know, it's tourist country and everyone's getting sunburned there, I guess. So I seriously, I was like globbing like aloe vera all over my chest. The next day was just like red and brown, and then it went to like yellow. Oof. But it was only bruised for like 6 days.
That's not bad.
It wasn't terrible, no.
Yeah, yes, you see that on TV. Like you see matches with like Daniel Bryan or Bryan Danielson. Sorry, my bad. you see them get these welts during the match, and then they're back next week, and it's gone, and
yeah.
Like nothing. It's like, oh, well.
That's definitely one of those things in wrestling that both sounds like it hurts and actually does hurt.
Yeah.
Because there's only, you can't really fake that sound.
No.
Like what was that match with Samoa Joe?
And Suzuki.
Yeah.
And my God, I can't imagine Samoa Joe hitting you. Like,
yeah, get Samoa Joe to chop you in the chest. Yeah. Not a good feeling. And you could see him even, like, Suzuki's way smaller, but you saw, like, the bruising happening live as every hit. It was like, purple, purple, purple. I'm like, ay.
Yeah.
Okay. Top five wrestlers working today for you. What are your thoughts?
Man.
Mm-hmm.
I think the first bunch will come really easy, and then you're going to be like, okay, well, now... So I'm a huge Will Ospreay fan. Great. So he's going into the five for sure.
The Aerial Assassin.
AJ Styles. I've been a massive AJ Styles fan since his Impact days. I remember buying the Best of AJ Styles, phenomenal, the Best of AJ Styles DVDs when he was with Impact Wrestling. I was so impressed with everything that he did there. And for everybody, I always point this out, he has the only five-star match in the history of Impact Wrestling.
Really?
It's him, Samoa Joe, and Christopher Daniels in that three-way match, that unbelievable match. It's just crazy to me to think that somehow they only have one five-star Dave Meltzer match.
Yeah, that's weird. That is weird, considering the talent they have there, for sure.
I'm going to go Randy Orton with everything that he's accomplished.
Put the belt on Randy.
Yeah, and he looks like he's having so much fun now.
Yeah.
And we'll get to it when I talk to the top stories, because I did put a note there about Randy getting the belt. But yeah, go on.
Yeah,
we'll talk
so
about
there's,
that.
there's three. Chris Jericho.
Yeah.
For everything that Chris Jericho has accomplished in every phase of his career. You could make a real strong argument for Chris Jericho being the best wrestler working today. Just for everything that he's done. And also, he was a big reason that AEW's been as successful as it has been.
Mm-hmm.
Because when his name got attached to AEW early on, people went, oh, this isn't just a startup wrestling company. Chris Jericho is going to be there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's four.
Got one to go.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm really surprised there's a name that hasn't shown up.
I think I'm guessing the same name. He's hurt right now, though, so maybe that has something to do with it.
Who?
I mean... I would say Kenny Omega.
Right.
Yeah, he's really good.
Like, his matches in AEW, like, I know that's not even his prime.
You haven't even seen Okada and Omega Wrestle Kingdom hour-long
so
matches.
Right. Like, because...
This is the thing, to put, like, one final spot here.
Yeah. Would you call the Stone Cold active?
No.
Since he just wrestled in WrestleMania?
And, like, The Rock is not officially retired, so, like...
Yeah, and he'll be at WrestleMania in Hollywood for sure. Like, that's almost guaranteed at this point. They teased it on the Young Rock show, dude.
Whatever keeps him from making another Fast and Furious movie, I don't care what. I mean, it's okay to say no, dude.
Hey, look, my hope was, I saw the last one, and they took rockets to the moon, and I was like, if this series doesn't end...
No, they took a car to the moon.
Yeah. A car to the moon, right. Sorry, my bad.
I mean...
They took a car to the moon, but if this series doesn't end with The Rock versus John Cena on the moon... It was a whole waste of time.
The Rock doesn't want to be in these movies anymore.
I know. I heard.
He can say no.
He doesn't want to work with Vin Diesel anymore.
Yeah, he doesn't want to work with Vin Diesel. I know they introduced Cena, so I was like, man, if this... It has to be The Rock versus Cena on the moon for Fast 10 or 11. Yeah.
There's two more coming. Like, it's insanity. I thought Stallone was bad with some of the Rocky sequels and, like, Rambo 6 where he's fighting the Ukrainians.
Expendables 3 and... I don't know, but yeah.
All right, then I think Kenny Omega makes sense. He could be on that list, absolutely. Could be number one on that list.
Oh, honorable mention, Finn Balor.
Yeah, sure. I'm so glad that I said Will Ospreay first. I'm such a huge Will Ospreay fan. I think there's a lot of people that live in the U.S. that aren't familiar with his work.
Yeah.
And if you've never seen a Will Ospreay match, go watch seven of them right now.
Yeah. And I think he's going to start creeping up a little bit more now with all this interaction with AEW and New Japan, the Forbidden Door.
Yeah, and he's been wrestling in the U.S. quite a bit recently.
Yep. He's doing, like, local shows, too. He's doing Impact as well. Yeah. And I think he did GCW. Did he do GCW?
Yes. And he has a GCW match coming up, too.
Right. Yeah. Okay. I'm not going to ask you top five of all time, which I have here listed, but...
Why not? Let's get into it.
All right, fine. Since you did active, let's do top five all time.
Wow, this is like Mount Rushmore plus one.
Yeah, plus one.
Yeah. So I did a Mount Rushmore a few years ago because I just interviewed Hogan and Flair at the same time. And I was basically saying that if those guys aren't on your Mount Rushmore, like, I would love to see your Mount Rushmore. So for me, those are on my Mount Rushmore.
Okay.
So Hogan, Flair, Rock. It's just hard.
There's so many. I mean.
Undertaker, of course.
Of course, of course.
And then, see, that it's difficult because Rock's my favorite of all time. Rock's wrestling career was actually pretty short. And so is Stone Cold Steve Austin's, like his, at least Austin's WWE career. I think, though, like Bret Hart's got to be on there for the...
Ooh, best there is, best there was, best there ever will be.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm a Sting guy, so I would find some way to shoehorn him in there.
Okay. I mean, the fact that he's 63 and jumping into five tables is pretty impressive.
So I think I gave you six there, but
we'll take it. It's a loosey-goosey show.
Yeah. And the last question I'm going to ask you, favorite personality, not just wrestler, personality that you've interviewed that's like maybe you've become friends with at the end of it?
Boy, when you put that caveat at the end of someone I've become friends with.
Or maybe not friends, but just, you know, you stay in touch.
I'd say it's Chris Jericho.
Yeah?
Yeah. He's been so kind to me. We had a mutual friend in common who connected us, and I did an interview with him when he had kind of stepped away from wrestling before the AEW stuff, when he was doing, like, you know, the match Bobby. Here, match there. Yeah. Actually, the first interview I did with him was, the very first interview was actually backstage at a Fozzy show.
Ooh.
The next interview was on a Fozzy tour bus, and he's just been so kind and so nice. After that interview on the tour bus, we were like packing up the equipment, like, oh, Chris, thank you so much. He's like, well, I just ordered breakfast. You guys want to hang around? And we're like,
nice.
Yes.
Yes, please.
And then we just like hung out and like chatted like this. So he's been really kind. And then he'll send me a message every once in a while after like listening to like an interview I've done. He's like, wow, I can't believe that person told that story. Or this person told this story and I don't think I believe it.
Oh, yeah,
I'm like, wow, Chris Jericho's texting me that? I will also say that John Cena has been like very kind to me.
That's cool.
And a mutual friend connected us, and we did an interview. And it was so funny. It was WrestleMania when it was in New York. So WrestleMania 35 is the only interview he did the whole weekend.
Nice.
So he like texted me, like, meet me at this location at this time. And it was a gym. So we go to this Manhattan gym. We go up an elevator. It's a very private, exclusive gym. And I text him, like, I'm here. And I'm waiting, and I'm waiting, I'm waiting. Don't see him. He texts me back. He goes, I can't see you, and I'm not trying to be funny. I was at a different entrance as him, but he came over, and he's like, I've got 10 minutes. And we like started rolling, and we just started the interview like immediately.
Yeah.
Right around the 10-minute mark, I go to wrap up the interview, and he reaches in his pocket, grabs his phone. He goes, no, we still got some more time.
Nice.
And I'm like, how much more time? He's like, I don't know. I'll tell you when you're done. And I'm like, okay, so we kind of kept talking, like five more minutes. I go to wrap it up again. He goes, no, you got more time. So he extended the interview twice. And then I texted him later and just was like, thank you. Like, that was really kind. And he's been very, I would definitely not say I'm his friend or we stay in touch, but he was so, so nice to me and he didn't need to do any of that stuff. So my hat's off to him for just the person that he is.
The fact that he, you know, extended it twice, that shows, you know, he liked what you were doing. He respected what you were doing, you know?
Yeah, it was, again, he didn't need to do that.
Yeah.
And he needed to go to a book signing a children's book signing, like right after that. And he's like, when we did wrap up the interview, he's like, I got to go like right now.
Right.
And I'm like, but thank you, John Cena.
Well, awesome, man. Let's get into some of the top stories and rumors. I'm curious, because usually it's just Earl and I, and I want to see what your perspective is. The first one, it's kind of a question I had for you, but I'm just going to piggyback it on this top thing here, which is Roman Reigns recently at a house show did a promo where he was talking about maybe he doesn't know how much longer he's got and might go part-timing, might retire, might go to Hollywood, who knows. You know, what are your thoughts on that? Because, I mean, who can possibly... I feel like that's the only way Roman can drop the belts is if he leaves at this point. The way that they've built him up, who's going to beat him?
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I think the news came out that it's basically going to be that he's not doing house shows anymore. He's not going to do live events anymore. I don't think he's like going
retiring. Yeah.
But I mean, he's in the John Cena spot right now.
Oh yeah.
Right? He's in that John Cena spot. He's the face of the company, whether you like it or not, and a lot of people don't like it.
Respect your tribal chief. How dare you?
I will say that if and when he does become ready for making that move to Hollywood, a lot of people might not like to hear this, but I think to be successful in Hollywood, you've got to leave wrestling behind.
Mm-hmm.
And when you think of the three most successful wrestlers who have transitioned to Hollywood, The Rock, John Cena, and Dave Bautista, they all kind of went, okay, what I did in WWE, I did in WWE. Now I'm forging a new career for myself. So I think that people shouldn't be mad if Roman does decide to make more movies. I just think that he's going to have to just go, okay, that's the thing I did there, and this is the new thing I'm doing here.
Yeah, because otherwise, I mean, and no offense to WWE, but their movie productions are not of the best quality.
They're awful. they're like public access.
Yeah, like what, the Marine 7?
I like the Marine, the first one, because it had Robert Patrick, who's a great bad guy.
Great bad guy.
But then it started getting to be like...
You all know. Those movies with The Miz and Becky, like, I mean, good for them for doing it, but they're not obviously as successful as the stuff Dave Bautista did or
sure.
The Rock did. Or,
good for them, but bad for us.
Yeah. but yeah, I mean, like, who do you think at this point could possibly dethrone Roman Reigns? And the note that I put about Randy, it's like, look, Roman's already talking about maybe possibly, you know, working less. And Randy Orton is celebrating his 20th anniversary and is having the time of his life, the run of his life, and is older and has been wrestling longer and recently said, I ain't going anywhere. So put the belt on Randy.
I agree. Would say. Put the belt on Randy. Right? Makes sense. But also, let's build some new stars.
That's true, too.
And I think it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when Austin Theory becomes the champion.
Right.
And I was so fortunate to be able to work with Austin like 3 years ago.
Well, he's Theory now. Be careful.
Sorry, his real name's Austin. I worked with Austin White. That's his real name.
Deep cut.
Yeah.
Kayfabe. Oh, my God.
I worked with him at a Blueprint Pro Wrestling show in Deerfield Beach, Florida. I was the ring announcer. He was in the main event. And I just knew. Like, he was 21 at the time. I just knew he was going to be a star. And then, you know, fast forward a year later and he was signed by WWE.
Mm.
So I think that we need to throw some new blood in there as well as having some of the established stars. That's, you know, I think we need both in there kind of shaking it up. Also, I've said this so many times, but we need The Miz to hold the championship again. The Miz, and I get a lot of hate when I say this, The Miz was a great champion.
Well, wasn't he recently? My time is all off, but didn't he win like Money in the Bank and become champ for like a day or something like that?
Come on. Come on.
No respect.
Come on.
No respect.
One day,
drop it the next day. I mean, honestly, I don't think Randy's going to take it from Roman. I wish he would.
When are they going to unify the belts?
Yeah, you know what? That's the rumor, is that Cody is going to be the one and he's going to bring back the Winged Eagle and that'll be the combination of belts, because he's been talking about wanting to bring back the Winged Eagle, because he did it with the Intercontinental belt a few years back. So
they're already burying the guy. He's been there for 2 weeks.
What do you mean burying? What do you mean?
You could tell they're already kind of
mid-carding him,
pumping the gas or the brakes on him already. But
I don't think it's because of him. I think it's because of Roman. Like, they don't want Roman to drop the belts yet. And so they have to kind of pump the brakes on Cody, because if they push him straight to the moon, you know, then...
Let me ask you this. If it's going to be Rock versus Roman next year here in L.A., is Roman going to be the champion at the time?
I wouldn't do that.
I wouldn't either.
It's a big enough match. You don't need
belts. We all know The Rock's going to lose that match.
Yeah, he's not going to win the belts.
And that's what I'm saying, right? Yeah. And it's obviously no disrespect to The Rock, my favorite wrestler, but... When you retire, you usually go out putting someone else over.
Right.
So I think we all know going into that match, it's going to be a great match, but The Rock's not going to win. So I don't know. Does it make sense for Roman to keep the belt until then?
I don't think so.
I think he has to give it away. I think he has to have the belt at the time.
Yeah, but this is Vince McMahon we're talking about
here.
The whole thing
is going to be, if I'm booking this, Roman goes in with the title, beats The Rock, walks away from WWE to do the Hollywood thing. This way he could say he's never beaten.
And he surrenders the belt, yeah, and then they do a tournament, and then Cody wins.
But can Roman act? Like,
you didn't see the Fast and the Furious 7,
I
8,
can't keep up with 9?
He was also in...
Or was it Hobbs and Shaw?
Was no, he was in...
He was in Fast? Or was it Hobbs and Shaw? It was one of the Fast movies, spin-offs, whatever.
He was also in a comedy. He played like angry guy at the bar. Oh my God. It was with David Spade. The wrong something. We should look this up.
Yeah, it was.
Let's keep guessing.
Let's
the
keep
wrong
guessing.
Missy.
Yeah, he was in
the
Debbie,
other Missy, something like that.
He was in Debbie Does Dallas.
Oh, that I've seen. What? Really? Who was he in Debbie Does Dallas?
He was the dark-haired one. Yeah.
Oh man.
Because if he tanks in Hollywood. Like, he's got to go back. Like, I wouldn't leave wrestling completely behind if I were him.
Well, if I was him, I would be doing the John Cena thing where you're doing a bunch of roles and also building your name in wrestling. I interviewed Cena for Fast and Furious 9, and I was like, you know, a lot of people don't realize you made your first movie 16 years ago. And he's like, yeah,
which
the Marine.
The Marine, right, yeah.
And then he told me this great story that Stone Cold Steve Austin was supposed to be the Marine.
Oh.
And then 2 weeks before, Austin didn't do it, and Vince McMahon called up Cena and said, I need you to do this movie because it'll help us sell more tickets for shows. Mm. And he was basically like, okay, boss, if it's going to help us sell more tickets, I'll do this movie. Isn't that crazy?
That's crazy. I mean, no disrespect to Cena, but I think he's a better actor than a wrestler. I may be wrong, but I love his movies, and there's certain matches that I've seen of Cena where he And again, I'm not talking crap. I love Cena. He follows me on Twitter. I love you.
You ass kisser.
Yeah, he also follows like 400,000 other people.
Hey, but the ratio is crazy. He's got like a million followers. It's still good. Don't ruin my...
Cena follows you.
No, but yeah. But I enjoy his movies more, and then I've seen some of the matches where he calls the moves a little too loud. Like, clothesline. I was like, are you like a street fighter? Like, how do
you have like bionic woman hearing? Like...
No. He's known for being a little loud in the ring because he doesn't care really. He does like the fourth wall breaking a lot with his promos too, and you know, I think he's just having fun. But I like his roles in movies more. Peacemaker was fantastic. I don't know.
That's his best work.
I mean,
for sure.
Wow, what a great show. moving on. So Randy, I don't think Randy's gonna beat. So to answer the question, maybe Cody, or maybe he just drops him, right?
Mm.
The belts, Roman?
I don't think he's going to be the champion all the way for the next
year,
11
basically,
months.
Yeah, I don't think so either. I had a joke, and it's not a good one, but, you know.
Don't let that stop you.
Yeah. The way that they've booked Roman, the only person that can beat him, or the only thing that could beat him is leukemia. So.
Oh, jeez.
Wow.
And I thought I was inappropriate.
Wow.
Guys doing cancer.
What
jokes.
About Brock? Brock could win the title again.
I don't know. I don't even think Brock's coming back, to be honest with you. After having to drop the belt again, I don't know. Maybe. He would have to have a good buildup to go back to having the belt again.
I mean, you want to talk about a guy who looks like he's having fun.
Well, yeah. He was the
Brock Lesnar.
Cowboy Brock has been the best Brock.
So good.
All right, moving on. WWE announced hitting record numbers this quarter, immediately after cutting a bunch of people from NXT for budget reasons.
I mean, I don't think you can believe when they say they have record numbers. They could be...
Well, they're a publicly traded company.
Yeah, no,
so...
it has to be real numbers.
Yeah.
It's just... But of course...
But who's going to look up the actual... Like, is anyone going to sit there? I'm going to double check the times. You know, I'm sure with AEW doing pretty good...
Yeah.
It's a little bit of a flubbing of, hey, we're doing great.
It's just got to be painful for some of these workers that, you know, I got cut for budget reasons, but then, hey, we're making profit records. Like, gosh. But it's a problem that's also, I have it there on the list, it's a problem that's kind of bleeding into AEW too, where there's contracts that aren't being renewed and folks are, you know, there's a lot of talent that's just kind of floating at this moment.
I will say that at least AEW lets you ride out the entire length of your contract.
Yeah, no, yeah.
So if you, I just had Jack Evans on the show, that interview will be out probably right around when this goes out. And he's like, look, I hadn't been on TV in like a year, but they at least paid me to the end of my contract. That is something that does not happen in WWE.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I've heard.
But all of this, like, record profits, I mean, we've heard the whispers about it, but it certainly seems like they're lining up to make this look as profitable as possible so that some big media entity will want to buy this.
Yeah, the rumors were Warner Media for a while.
There's been a lot of rumors. Fox, Discovery, Disney.
I feel like that's eventual. It is the kind of the world that we live in for all of entertainment, like video games and all things. All these companies are merging and, you know, combining into these things.
I think it's inevitable. And I mean, if you want to believe the rumors, Fox wanted to buy WWE. WWE's number was apparently too high, and then Fox just acquired the rights to SmackDown instead.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. And you get the internet, the people on the internet are just always fighting. AEW is the best. WWE is the best. Like, they're different products completely, in my opinion. Like, yeah. WWE is not a professional wrestling company anymore.
No.
It's an entertainment company that has wrestling.
I mean, I prefer AEW just because I'm actually a wrestling fan, so I like the storylines a little more. Mm-hmm. Although I do think they sign way too many people.
Yeah. You
know, they're on TV one week and then... You don't see him.
How do you not, though? Like, how do you have billions of dollars and then see Samoa Joe go free and not pick him up? You know what I mean?
Well, I'm glad they let him go free. Like,
yeah.
Because I think Tony Khan seems to be, he's like a fan with money. Like, yeah, let's sign this guy. Let's sign this guy.
Yeah, pretty much.
I think that their biggest detriment is they only have 3 hours of television a week to show off a great roster of supremely talented men and women.
Oh, you don't like Dark Elevation?
There's nothing wrong with Dark, but I'm just saying, like, it's not on television.
Right.
So if you've only got 3 hours of television each week, it's tough to show everything that you have.
It's an interesting thing because that's a conversation that a lot of AEW, WWE fans bring up. It's like, oh, the ratings. But it's like, how many people are actually still watching television versus watching stuff on the internet?
We need to stop talking about ratings.
Yeah.
Number one, because they're so flawed in the way that ratings are collected.
Mm.
Like a Nielsen rating box is the stupidest, most archaic method of measuring if someone watched television. Yeah. So dumb. Also, the fact that we're all getting our television, like our cable, digitally.
Mm-hmm.
Why can't we just check a box and, like, you can track everything I watch all the time? I don't care. I thought you were doing that anyway.
Right.
What they need to do is have some sort of amalgamation of how many YouTube views, Twitter views, Instagram views, all of that together, plus 5 days or whatever. That needs to be the actual rating. Because you don't need to watch it on TV if all the clips show up on Twitter 15 seconds after it happens.
Right. Yeah, or like, you know, the ratings are down, but then you go and, you know, clips of Bad Bunny have millions and millions of views.
And guess what, people? Ratings are down for everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Except for this, you know, amazing thing called live sports. Like, other than football ratings are down like crazy all across the board.
Yeah.
So you always see the argument of like, well, they're not doing the numbers they were in the Attitude Era. Nothing is. Like, that's when like Seinfeld was getting like 50 million viewers a night.
That's right. On top of that, we got NXT 2.0 rumors. I think these are rumors that were perpetrated by Athena, who formerly Ember Moon,
where was that interview done, by the way?
Somebody. But yeah, basically saying that the dress sexier meetings. What can you tell me about that?
I can tell you that someone who isn't Athena texted me right after that interview came out and said, I'm so glad she talked about that. And they were just as awkward as they sound. Okay.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing. I don't doubt it. And, you know, it's a touchy subject. But, you know, sex sells, man. I'm sorry.
Especially in wrestling.
And I get that, like...
We don't want to go to bra and panties matches again, but...
I get that some of the characters can lean into that.
Yeah.
But there's also some characters that maybe that's not their forte.
Right.
So I think that that's kind of the main point that Athena was trying to make is like, leave that for the Carmellas and the Mandy Roses of the world.
Mm.
And then maybe for some of the other workers, they can do their own thing.
Yeah.
But they were trying to make it like allegedly, according to the story, trying to make it like a blanket across the board. Everybody needs to abide by these rules.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if it's not in your character, it's going to come off bad and like, you know, like I said, some characters.
Well, I mean, I don't know. Abaddon seems to be dressing sexier. I'm just kidding.
If that's your thing.
If that's your thing. I wanted to ask you your thoughts on Meltzer, because there is a kind of a divisive subject. A lot of people don't care or they're always like, oh, this guy just spreads rumors and they don't come true. Because the latest Meltzer rumor is that, you know, Bray Wyatt may be done with wrestling because his asking price is too high. And I don't know. I don't know if I should believe that.
I think that sounds believable.
You think so?
Yeah. I think that Dave gets a bad rap sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
I like Dave. He's okay. Always been so kind to me. But I think that sometimes people will see a story attributed to him and then just automatically not believe it.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I can't believe Dave. Well, Dave does get a lot of things right.
Yeah.
A lot of things right. And sure, maybe he gets a lot of things wrong too, or gets some things wrong. Sure. But I could believe that Bray Wyatt story. I think that we're going to see Bray Wyatt doing more things in like Hollywood, or at least leaning towards doing that.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, I had Jason Baker, who does The Fiend Mask.
I had
him on my show, and he was saying that he was here in Hollywood to film a movie, a horror movie. It kind of, I'm not trying to blow myself up, it was on all of the wrestling sites. For some reason, that was not what I was expecting. I was not expecting that to be picked up, but apparently it was news that, oh, Bray Wyatt's in Hollywood. I'm like, oh, shit, okay. Cool. All right. But yeah, I mean, I still think he'll come back to wrestling.
I hope it's for AEW.
Yeah, I hope it's AEW. I hope he doesn't go back to WWE. He was one of my favorites, and I was really upset with how that all ended. Like, that was like the most frustrated I've been with WWE, is the way The Fiend ended.
And I think that he was really frustrated too, from everything that I've heard.
Yeah.
Because I think that's the only signing out there that could get mainstream for AEW. Like, oh my God, he's
there. The one that's left, right? That's like the only big signing.
Like, there's really no one else that I can think of that's available, like, you know, that could make
no one bigger than that.
Yeah. I think that's the biggest name. You know, he teased recently, there was a picture of them with the Brody Skull, and it was the Wyatt family.
Yeah.
And that kind of got me excited. I just hope he doesn't end up at in some like weird like small indie show or anything like that. Like, just go do it big. You're a big name. Go big.
I think after their last few debuts have been a little limp, you know, Jay Lethal. Nothing against Jay Lethal, but sure. Like, it wasn't, you know, Tony Khan, if there's one thing I hate that he does, is he overpromises. Like, this is a huge announcement, and then it's like, oh well. I mean, Bray would be
huge.
Like, instead of that Sing kid, you know, like, what the hell was that?
I think the most disappointing debut, and I was so excited to see him, but the way that they did it was Jeff Hardy.
Like, well, you weren't stoked on him stopping in the middle of the right.
Like, I just wish it was.
His brother's getting killed. He's going, well, I got to do the dance first. Like, what?
Well, I mean, when you hear that song, you got to do the dance.
No, I get it, but like, how about help your brother first? He's going
to
kill.
I was so happy to see him there, but I was just like, I think he could have had a more meaningful debut.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I agree.
Like, saving his brother, and like, the stakes needed to be higher.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Like, maybe have a, I'm not trying to fantasy book it at all, but
do it.
Maybe it could have been like a, I don't know, like a mystery tag team opponent or something like that.
Mm. Lights go out. No, I'm just kidding. That seems to be the thing. That's like the de facto. Like, that's how we do debuts.
Well, I think the problem was their Cole and Danielson debut was so well done.
And yes.
That's probably one of the better like surprises we all knew was happening. And it still like got us going that the last few, you know, no one knew who Sting was virtually. You know, the Hardy one was, you know, could have been done better, like you said. And
there were some really good ones during the pandemic that unfortunately there were no fans there to see, like Matt Hardy's debut.
Mm.
If there were fans there, that would have been
just
incredible to see.
Yeah.
But like Christian, that one was a huge announcement, huge signing. It was like, I mean, I love Christian.
Yeah.
But it was like, all right, this wasn't like huge.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. My biggest complaint with the way AEW handles it is that they expect that everyone that's like, they're trying, I don't know, they say that they're not trying to compete with WWE, but if you want the brand to be accepted by a bigger audience, you cannot assume that everyone that's watching is a nerd like me.
Mm.
You know, you're like, oh my God, the biggest match ever, Samoa Joe and Suzuki. You know, for me, that's enormous. Yeah. But, you know, for the general populace.
Like, I didn't know who JY was. I'm embarrassed to say that. But, like, I was like, okay, who's this guy?
Yeah, right. Like they expect you to be in it, you know, watch all the BTEs and watch New Japan and watch Impact. It's like they're putting too much pressure on the fan to, like, go get all the information and then just come back here and watch the dream match happen.
Well, they obviously target a very different audience.
Yeah.
Like, WWE is trying to do exactly what you're saying. They're trying to give you, like, if you've never watched before, you're a casual fan, or you bought a ticket and you're going to your very first WWE show, you can go, oh, that's the good guy. That's right. The bad guy.
Yeah.
Look at the size of this person. Like, that's what they do a lot of that.
Yeah.
Whereas AEW is going, we are going to give you the dream match of all dream matches.
Right.
And they do.
They do.
And as hardcore wrestling fans, we go, that is awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's how they've built their foundation. Mm-hmm. I just worry about their growth down the line if they keep doing stuff like that. Like, you know, and then you could tell that they're trying to do more mainstream. Like, they had Shaq on there and, you know, a couple of things like that. But
oh, well, Snoop Dogg jumping from the top rope was like a little, I mean, you know.
It made a lot of mainstream headlines,
yeah,
though.
Yeah.
No, it did. But
I used this analogy recently, and I feel like it fits. It's kind of like when you first start dating someone. And, like, you take them to the best restaurant, and then, like, you take them on a trip to Cabo, and then you're, like, you're just pulling out all the stops, right? Well, all of a sudden, the bar is set really high, like, for date five now.
Mm.
Like, what are you going to do? Take her to Paris?
Yeah.
Now, if you've taken her to Paris, where do you go from there?
Yeah.
And that's kind of what this feels like. Like, we've been so spoiled. AEW has spoiled us with so many amazing signings and so many incredible debuts. It's like the bar is set way up here, especially after the CM Punk debut or return. So it's like, well, how can you top that? And the answer is you can't. Yeah. So if your expectations are way up here and something comes in here, which is still really good, people are going to go, yeah. Wasn't as good.
Yeah, that's the debuts that you mentioned that kind of like fell flat. It's because of that, because you've got the Cole and Brian Danielson and then Singh. It's like,
they were all trips to Paris,
yeah,
you know?
Right.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, that Cole and Danielson was like a trip to Paris and, you know,
a whole
London
Euro trip.
And around the world. And then I love Jay Lethal and I love Christian, but and Singh, I didn't know who he was. I was like, damn, I wish that was Bray Wyatt. Every debut, I was like, damn, I wish that was Bray Wyatt. And, like, I think he's the only guy that only Khan can say, this is a huge announcement, and it would fit.
It's that. Like it's like looking at the boarding pass and going, oh, we're going to Cincinnati.
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
it's okay.
I like Cincinnati, but it's not Paris.
John, you look like you got something.
Do you guys think Shane McMahon would be at that level?
Shane McMahon. That'll never happen.
Shane McMahon in AEW?
Never
happen. I never say never.
I mean, the tumultuous relationship between Shane and Vince, it might happen, but who knows?
I mean, you'd have to really hate your dad to go to the legit competition.
Isn't that what happened in the Monday Night Wars? No, I'm just kidding.
Well, yeah, in the storyline.
Oh, man. I don't know. I mean, I would pop for AJ Styles or Finn Balor going over to AEW and, like, reuniting with the Bullet Club. Like, that would blow my mind.
I think that WWE would never let that happen.
Never.
Yeah. You don't think they would let Styles go just makes too much money?
No.
I'd love to see that.
I think they would give him more money so that it doesn't happen.
That's exactly it.
Here's more millions. Please don't leave us.
Yep.
Here, we'll give you Finn Balor, and you two can too sweet on Raw. I'd popped. I'm sorry.
I would love to know how much money Kevin Owens got paid to stay, because sure seemed like he didn't want to.
Yeah, and all his buddies are over there, and he was teasing it on Twitter. I don't know if you got caught wind of that, but right when there were rumors of him not re-signing, he started changing his location on Twitter to, like, Rushmore, Mount Rushmore.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
Like, it was all little hints to maybe he's going over there.
Maybe he was like, you know, I want this amount of money. I'm like, oh, wow. Well, we can give you that amount of money. Is there anything else you'd want to stay? That probably can't happen, but I'd love a WrestleMania match with Stone Cold Steve Austin. Done.
Oh,
yeah, we'll make it happen.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Whatever you want, pal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's your name?
Aren't you here, Ken Owens? Oh, my God. I watched that on Raw last night. My goodness. I'm loving this whole Ezekiel, Elias, Kevin, Ken thing. I hope it ends well. It's really good so far. I hope it ends well.
I mean, I love Elias or Ezekiel. I just think he's so, he's got a natural humor to him that you just can't teach. And so I hope it goes farther and they take care of him.
Yeah. I wonder why that gimmick went away. Is it because we have someone else playing guitar now?
Yes, and he's better at the guitar than Elias.
Yeah, but he's not funny.
That's great.
That's true. He's not funny.
I think we're going to see Elias.
What happened?
I think we're going to see the return of Elias.
Oh, I would pop for that.
Dude, it's going to take him a while to grow a beard.
And the hair.
This comes back to what you said, which I agree with. Austin Theory, next big star. Elias, Madcap Moss, the next two that they're really going to push.
I don't like Madcap, but I see his potential.
I love him as once he gets rid of the suspenders and the stupid laugh.
That's literally why I don't like him.
Yeah.
He's going to be huge.
Yeah. I mean, my wife was watching the whole thing. She's like, I really hope Elias actually comes out. Like, it is his brother. Like, if they were to find someone or maybe he has a twin. I don't know. Like, she was like, if that were to actually happen, I would become a 100% wrestling fan if Elias is actually real.
How could they do this?
I mean, maybe he gets hit in the head and like he had amnesia or something and he takes such a hard shot to the head, he becomes Elias again.
What was the last match he had?
There's worse ideas.
Yeah, what was the last match he had before he went away? So I'm wondering if he had a head injury or was that devastating that's why he's back now is like, I don't remember.
As exciting as all of this is, I hate the more we talk about it, the more mid-card it seems.
Mm.
But isn't he, like, I don't see him ever being, like, a huge, and I'm a huge fan, but, like, he kind of is.
Yeah, he is. I just think he has so much potential. He has the look and the ability, and maybe they could do it where he's in the ring, and then, like, Elias shows up on the screen.
On the screen.
Like we hear the strum.
All right.
Yeah. Or invest in the Tupac hologram technology.
I remember Undertaker versus Undertaker.
Hey, that is true. That was, that really messed with my head as a kid, seeing Undertaker versus Undertaker. Anyway, moving on from that.
I can't.
Real quick, we had unfortunate news of injury for Darius Martin. He just came back from injury, and now he's injured again. And to be out for, I think they said, anywhere from 6 to 8 months. Like, boy, that's unfortunate.
That's just bad luck.
Yeah.
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 All it is.
I would hope, though, that during that time that he comes back, or after, like during that time, he gets himself so he's back better than ever when he is ready to go.
I mean, if there's a roster that can sustain one guy getting injured, it's AEW. They got plenty of
other people there, yeah. AEW New Japan's Forbidden Door presale tickets sold out almost immediately in Chicago, which is no surprise to anyone, I think. Chicago's one of the best. Would you say Chicago's the best U.S. wrestling town?
It's the best AEW wrestling town, without question.
Okay.
Right? Why is that?
Well, Tony Khan's from there. So I think he's been booking, CM Punk's return obviously made sense in Chicago, but I think it was sweetened even more by the fact that Tony Khan was from that area.
Right.
He's booked some really great, great shows there. But man, they are in Chicago a lot.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they got to depend. Like, if that's your hottest crowd, I mean, I would go back to it too,
for sure. Yeah. I don't know what the hottest wrestling crowd in general is. I think the ECW fans in that either Hammerstein Ballroom or ECW Arena area, like the Philly, New York area, I think they might have something to say about
that. Yeah, MSG was really, really popping when I remember seeing when Roman did the whole Tribal Chief thing. And arrived at MSG, the pop was ridiculous.
Right.
You know, so I was like, ah.
I mean, I don't know if you could say Atlanta is, but that Georgia Dome, Hogan, Goldberg, I can't remember a hotter crowd. Maybe it was just for that one match, but my God, that was, you could feel the energy through the TV.
Yeah, yeah.
Hogan doing a job for someone probably was out of control.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, Chicago also home of Pro Wrestling Tees.
Yep.
So, I mean, yeah, it's a big crowd for I don't want to say indie wrestling because it's not anymore. It's AEW New Japan. They're not indie wrestling. But you know, for that crowd, for us, for the wrestling fans, I feel like Chicago is like the base right now.
And the Midwest is so drivable. So, like, if you live in Indiana, Michigan, Ohio, New York, and then, you know, if you live anywhere within five-ish hours, you're probably going to drive to something like this. That's the really exciting thing about living there. Like, you know, we're from, or we've lived in Miami.
Yeah.
What's 5 hours from Miami? More Florida.
Puerto Rico.
Yeah. Orlando. Yeah, like. Jacksonville.
So you know what I mean? Like,
yeah. That's why I got out of there, man. I mean, I'm a big music fan, and a lot of bands don't drive down to Miami because it's not, it's like, so, it's 8 hours.
Yeah.
It's insane. All right. And then finally, the last thing we have, you know, WrestleMania Backlash happened. WrestleMania, the rematch happened. And, you know, I don't want to go, I don't want to dig deep into this, but just the notes I have, Omos burying Bobby Lashley. what are your thoughts on Omos?
Well, it's, I think it's good for Bobby Lashley to, like, that's good on him to do that.
To put him over, yeah.
Yeah. They obviously see something big in Omos.
Oh, really? What?
I mean, I love his look. I mean, I got to be, he makes the great Khali look nimble, but, like.
Yeah.
You are right. Not many vets of Lashley's stature would do the job like that.
Yeah.
So that is good on.
Yeah, and I mean, I think he'll do better now with MVP as his mouthpiece.
Yeah,
but yeah, I mean,
them putting him with AJ and them with MVP, like, they see something huge.
Yeah, they see he's very huge. That's what they see. Yeah, I don't. My wife was one that actually brought that to my attention. The whole AJ and Omos thing, that didn't help anyone. That didn't help AJ.
Well, it made him. Omos
did it though. He was still getting zero noise, not just booze, just nothing, indifference when he went solo. You know what I mean? So I don't think that really helped Omos, and it definitely didn't help AJ having Omos carrying him like a baby around. You know what I mean? She's like, didn't you tell me AJ was one of the best in the world? I'm like, he is? She's like, then why is that big man carrying him around like a baby? I'm like,
I mean, he needs Vince? A definite mouthpiece manager, a Bobby Heenan type.
Give him Paul Heyman. Then we might care about him.
Yeah, I might.
Yeah.
I mean, he made me care for Roman. I was not a Roman fan, and now I am.
Yeah.
He's the ones. Ronda Rousey broke Charlotte's arm, according to the x-ray that she got in the arena.
It's nice that they have an x-ray in the arena.
I mean, oh, my God.
I think I believe the quarterly reports more than that.
They didn't take her to a local medical facility?
No, yeah, the hospital.
Hey, we happen to have, at this arena, we happen to have this giant x-ray machine. That was wild when I heard that. I'm like, come on, guys. Rhea Ripley has joined the House of Edge, which is cool. It's a good fit. I still feel, I love it, by the way. I love the new Edge look. I love Rhea Ripley joining. I love that Damian Priest is part of it. It's all great. But ever since I saw Brody King tweet out that it's the House of Black ordered on Wish, I can't get that idea out of my brain. You know, wow. Oh, yeah, you're right. Oh, my God. I still like it. I still like it a lot. But it is definitely, they're definitely going for that House of Black vibe. Mm. You know, especially when Rhea came out on Raw and they were just all three standing there in the dark. I'm like, yeah, it's the same vibe. Bloodline, still the ones after Backlash. You know, I don't, like I said, I don't know what they're going to do. That's why I made the joke of the leukemia thing. It's like, who can kill him? No one. No one can do it except for, you know, possibly.
Maybe Omos needs to take the belt from him.
Oh.
I mean, listen, they've done worse.
They have.
And Vince loves, you know, those giants still.
And I understand that. Like, I think he's still approaching it from, like, this, the circus mentality of, like, when you see someone like, if you don't know anything about wrestling and you're at the airport and you see Omos, you're going to go, that guy is something.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he plays basketball. Maybe he's a wrestler. And if you see, I don't know, a wrestler who's 5'11" and you don't recognize him, probably just walk right by you.
Yeah.
So I understand the mentality there.
I like that you bring that up, the circus mentality, because it is like that. And it's funny because you hear people talk about AEW or New Japan or like indies as the carnies. But, I mean, what's more carny than that, than Omos, the giant? Look at this giant!
Yeah.
Which is why I get AEW bringing in Singh. Like, I mean, physically, he's a specimen.
Sure, yeah.
I mean, his forehead is, like, the most amazing thing I've ever seen on a man. Like, it jets out like a penthouse suite.
Yeah.
So I hope they have him trained. And, like, I'd like to see him with a couple years of training behind him, but I don't know if, yeah, I get a couple of years. It's push him. And I mean, I don't know if I'd put him against Samoa Joe.
No.
You know, for his first feud. But, you know, what the hell do I know?
Well, I hope that his first feud is actually Orange Cassidy. That would be funny. And then the Raw after Backlash was kind of whatever. I mean, we got the return of Alexa Bliss, which I'm very happy about. You know, I'm glad to see her on the screen. And Cody, like I've put in here, he's already going after the mid-card belt. I knew he wasn't going to win it, even though it would look beautiful with his Homelander outfit and his American flag neck tattoo. It would fit the look. But I have a feeling Money in the Bank is what we're going to see with Cody.
Mm.
He's going to get that briefcase, and then that's maybe will lead to something. But
I still can't believe Cody's in WWE.
I got to tell you, man, I was in New York on a trip, and I watched that WrestleMania night in bed at like 2 in the morning after everything I had done, drunk. And when Cody came out of the floor with his music from AEW, I chills.
Yeah.
I was like, what is happening? This is AEW versus WWE, even though he's contracted and it's not actually AEW. It still felt that way because I followed the entire journey from the beginning. Yeah. Even before, I was a Cody fan in when he was in Bullet Club. And even before that, when he's Dusty's kid. Come on. But I saw him leave. I saw the whole journey, all the indies, going to New Japan, joining Bullet Club, starting AEW. And then to see him back, I was like, oh my God. This is WWE's version of Danielson debuting in Cold. Like a big, what? You know, even though it wasn't a surprise, everybody kind of already knew Cody was coming. And you would hear the crowd chanting him before he came out. It still made me like, oh, wow, this is crazy.
It was amazing, though, that up until the second his music hit, there were still a lot of people that were like, no, he's not coming. He wouldn't do that. There was a lot of people that thought this was a work.
Yeah. 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 I remember seeing those rumors online. Everybody's like, oh, this is a work. He's going to come back.
Well, I did like it from the standpoint of it gave you that old feeling of the wars starting up again. We're going to take your guy. And then you heard kind of, well, MJF might, when his contract is up, which I think would be pretty devastating towards AEW.
I mean, this is, when you think about how wild this is, like there was always talk every time that someone's WWE contract either ended or they got released. It was like, oh, are they going to show up in AEW?
Right.
It was always the talk, right? Mm-hmm. It was never the other way around. There was never people going, is that person going to go from AEW to WWE? That was never talked about.
Yeah.
For the person to do it, for the first person to do that, to be Cody?
Yeah.
One of the founders,
that's
one of the EVPs. Crazy.
He was, yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah. It's like saying that if the Bucks were to just go, I'm like, what? Like, what are you talking about? That, yeah, it's huge. And, you know, if we want a fantasy book, I'm thinking, like you said, MJF, I think eventually will make his way to WWE, even though I don't want to see that because they will have to tame him down a bit. Because he just goes.
I love how he is now. Like,
yeah.
So good. But he's so young.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
He's 26, I think.
Yeah, he's super young.
So, it could happen in 10 years and it would still have relevancy.
Yeah.
Because he's just... He reminds me of almost a Rick Rude type of, like, he's the heel you root for. Like, he's got that lovable, like a weird lovable, like, you know, his Jew boy promo. Was like, wow, this is real. Like,
yeah.
He really was called Jew boy as a kid. And, like, you could see it. He really was probably because he's welling up. And, like, I love him. And you know, I can see Wardlow eventually because, you know, Vince loves those gigantic dudes. Like,
yeah.
They had their chance, though. You know, WWE had their chance to sign Wardlow. He went to a tryout, and they basically said, like, go get some more experience on the indies instead.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
Womp womp. Sorry, Vince.
They've done a great job of building him.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Tyler going for almost like a Goldberg type, you know, indestructible.
No, especially with him coming in through the back and the whole.
Yeah.
So,
Although those security guards, you know, they can get some bigger guys.
Like, they can also, you know, two or three at a time because they all come one at a time, so he just knocks them out of the way.
And, like, what security guards have, like, pink mohawks? Like,
the ones from GCW. Shh. I'm just kidding.
I mean, I know it's wrestling, but I like a little believability. Like.
I also think Chris will go back. Jericho, I think he ends his career in WWE.
I think that's probably likely.
Yeah. I think that'll be another big name to go, because he's another one of the founding members.
Yeah.
I think that'll be another big one to go back. But yeah, I mean, and there's a lot of exciting things for us wrestling fans that are happening. I think we still haven't seen the wars. Like, we're seeing the beginning stages of it. I think there's going to be a war in like a year or so. Maybe, you know, AEW keeps growing and people start swapping back and forth like that. Like, I think we're still in for a war.
And I think it'll be good. You know, like, how fun was the Monday Night Wars when, like, it was must-see TV? And you could definitely see a building of, like, the wars starting. And, like, I can't wait because that was my favorite era of wrestling.
I'm sure you guys heard the rumors. Maybe you talked about it on a previous episode, but there was rumors that Raw was going to move to another night because of Monday Night Football. So there was talk of Raw going to Tuesday.
There's not the same ring. Tuesday Night Raw.
Right, but people forget that SmackDown used to be on Thursday.
Yeah, I remember that.
And it conveniently moved to Friday, and no one batted an eyelash, so.
It's just, I feel, Raw always has been Monday.
Yeah.
But I think now with the NFL extending the season a week and sometimes having two Monday night games, which, you know, when I was a kid, it was Monday Night Football was the game to watch.
Yeah.
Now with two games, I could see Vince or whoever is making the decisions going, eh, maybe Tuesday night's not so bad. We're competing against hockey.
What's Rollins going to do? Welcome to Tuesday Night Rollins. No, but yeah, I just think it's a very exciting time for us wrestling fans.
It is such a great time to be a wrestling fan. It is such a great time if you are a wrestler. I like, it doesn't matter if you are a WWE fan, an AEW fan, New Japan, whatever, name them all, Impact Wrestling. It's like, this is what unites us all. You know, and I think it's so strange that we live in a time where people go, I can't believe you watch WWE or I can't believe you watch AEW. No, we're all wrestling fans.
Yeah.
Let's just be wrestling fans.
Yeah. I mean, we spent so many years getting shamed for our love for wrestling. I mean, I did anyway. My friends like, what are you, dumb? Like, what are you watching that? It's fake. I'm like, so is everything else you watch. Game of Thrones isn't real. There aren't dragons. But, you know.
Yeah. I mean, we watch, you know, when I watched the movie Predator... I don't think there's
don't
an actual...
Don't you know it's fake?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, really? They're not actually getting killed in a jungle? You know, hey, I cried when the Ultimate Warrior came back in WCW. I mean, that first night was, like, magical when he did, like, a 34-minute promo. Yeah. And you could tell they're like, give this guy the light. And he was like, fuck this. I'm going for 34 minutes.
Santino told me that it's like flavors of ice cream. You know, we all like a different flavor of ice cream. Maybe yours is mint chocolate chip. Maybe yours is Rocky Road, vanilla, whatever it happens to be. You would never be like, dude, come on. Mint chocolate chip? Are you serious? Yeah. That's your flavor?
Yeah.
You just be like, oh, cool. Oh, that's cool. That's your flavor? This is mine.
Exactly.
There's just so many things you could, like. I saw your workout video with Michael Hearn and Billy Gunn. Like, that's the guy from Billy and Chuck's Gay Wedding. I don't know why. And that, I was amazed that you got to Gold's Gym at like what 5 a.m.
Yeah, 5 a.m.
You were hanging with those guys.
I was trying my best.
No, you were doing it. And then they had that other gigantic
guy. That guy was huge.
Doing like 200-pound dumbbells. Like that was. I was impressed by your workout. That just the fact that you could hang with those dudes. Yeah.
They were very polite to allow me to be there. I was. I mean, I threw up 100-pound dumbbell press.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
That made me feel really good. But that Doug guy that you're talking about, Douglas Fouché, he's
is he as big as he looks on a YouTube video? Because he looked like, you know, like Ivan Putski. But
well, he's an IFBB pro. Like he's a professional bodybuilder. Mm. He also had no shirt on. You know, whereas like Mike O'Hearn's a massive man. Despite the fact that he's 53, he's in insane shape. Mike had his shirt on, so you know it made Dougie look that much better, I think.
Yeah. Well, Chris, thank you so much for joining us here.
Thank you.
Comedy Store Wrestling. To go ahead and plug all the things, plug your show, which is phenomenal. I mean, if you're a wrestling fan, you're missing out. I doubt that you haven't seen one of his interviews. Let's just put it that way.
That's very kind of you to say. Thank you guys for the invite. This was so much fun. You can listen to my podcast, Insight with Chris Van Vliet, wherever you're listening to this right now. My YouTube channel is Chris Van Vliet. I have a Clips channel, CVV Clips, where we post the most interesting and memorable interview moments. And then it's just my name on social media, so check me out.
Yes, please do so. Earl, where can they find you?
At Earl Skakel everywhere. And after you listen to this podcast, Chris's podcast, if you have time. Inappropriate Earl. It's all kinds of good stuff.
Yeah, he's got a lot of wrestlers in there. And,
Piper, Virgil talking about how big his dick is.
Breadstick.
Unbelievable. Still holding out for getting in the Hall of Fame. And I'd like to give Jericho a thank you because my friend just sent me pictures from Kamala's gravesite. He paid for the funeral.
Oh, wow.
So it's another shout out to Chris Jericho because, you know, Kamala was not in the best shape financially. And, you know, Chris didn't have to do that.
Yeah. By the way, how much did you have to pay Virgil for the interview?
He did it for free.
No way.
I couldn't get him to leave my house. I'm like, hey, dude, we're going to wrap it up. And his managers are insane. They manage the Sheik. And, you know, he did hit me up for some money after. He's like, hey, I got this meat sauce company. I said, get the fuck out of my house. I loved it when you turned on Million Dollar Man, but beat it.
And you can catch me at RRBG Podcast, where I interview musicians, comedians, athletes, all kinds of folks. Please follow us on at Comedy Store Wrestling on Instagram. Send us an email, comedystorewrestling@gmail.com, if you have any questions, suggestions. If you want to just send... you know, comments for Chris, I'll forward it to him.
Please.
Sure, he'd love that.
Yeah, yeah. No nudes unless,
Oh, he's got a woman, so send those to me. I'm single.
Earl.
So
I'll forward those to Earl.
That's eskakel@aol.com. I'm not kidding. I know. I'm so old, dude.
I love it.
Yeah, man.
I'm embarrassed.
And please subscribe if you haven't already. Subscribe, hit the notification button on our channel there on YouTube at the Comedy Store YouTube Network. We're there. Just follow, subscribe, help us support Comedy Store Wrestling.
Yes, please. We need it.